It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Rose friends. Today I'm joined by the very popular Mark Windham to talk about a very unpopular subject, rose rosette disease. But whatever the subject, we're always glad to chat with Mark. So hello, Mark, and welcome back to Rose Chat.
Good morning, and I am glad to be here.
So how are things in the great state of Tennessee?
Tennessee is doing pretty well. Of course, we're all struggling with this new normal, but the weather here is spectacular, so I can't complain.
Yeah, we can't complain here either. Things are loosening up a little bit from COVID, not too much. I didn't have my normal open garden day, but I did have about 10 people to come through over maybe 20 through a couple of days just by invitation, people who had just said, please let me come sort of thing. But so we did have a few people to walk through and social distance. But yeah, things are a little bit different. And we had a rocky start to spring and with cold snaps and freezes, but now the flowers are competing for being the prettiest.
I agree. It is. Well, we had cold spells, way too much rain for a while, but now everything is in bloom and everything looks great.
Yep. Well, last time you were here, we talked about the serious subject of a glitch that led to loss of funding for the rose rosette research.
That's right. We did. Things aren't any better today as far as funding. We have learned that we will not be recommended for funding in the SCRI program this year. It's a highly competitive funding. Their funding was not as high as it had been. And due to these things, they just couldn't fund everything they wanted to fund.
Well, that is certainly disappointing. Do you think it has anything to do with what we're going through with the COVID or just other things?
That's way above my pay grade. So I have no idea about things like that. But that doesn't mean we're giving up. It just means that life is harder. Life is hard for a lot of people. So we will do the best that we can. We're obviously going to have to cut way, way back on things the way it stands right now. Our primary focus will be on trying to keep the rose resistance work going.
Are you seeing that this disease is growing steadily, or is it ramping up, or just what are you seeing in the work that you're doing right now?
Well, the emails, the phone calls, the messages that I'm getting from people this spring, it's certainly not ramping down. Discouragingly, we had a number of very large public and private gardens at last year, and in a couple of cases this year already, have suffered major losses due to rose rosette. So I guess just like this other virus, rose rosette virus is not going away. It's there. We keep hearing of new areas that it's being found in, and that's probably due to the movement of roses. Mm-hmm. You know, roses do move, and they move from person to person and on trucks from company to company. So this type of thing is not to be unexpected.
Well, I certainly wish we could flatten the curve of Rose Rosette, but I guess that's not happening yet. Some of those texts and emails came from me because I'm hearing from people. And one of the things that I've noticed when I hear from people is they're sending me pictures of things that aren't, they don't look exactly like Rose Rosette that I'm familiar with, but these are people who've had it before and now they're a little bit paranoid.
Yeah. One of the things that I commonly see, and I have to ramp myself back because I was going, where were you 2 months ago? Usually when I see pictures or people send me samples of Rose Rosette, it's obvious that the symptoms were there a month, 2 months, or maybe even longer before they noticed it or decided to act about it. And this is what allows it to get really spread in your garden. And last year, University of Tennessee put out a short pamphlet on how to identify Rose Rosette early. Most of the mites that carry this virus are found on that rosette. They can be 40 to 100 times greater populations on those rosettes than on other parts of the foliage of the same plant. So it's real important to catch this thing early before those mites that will be carrying the virus have a chance to ramp up. And that's why we stressed early detection so much. If anybody is interested in that pamphlet, they can go to UT Extension Publications, type in Rose Rosette, and it will pop right up and they can download it.
That's excellent. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Now, if somebody's trying to find information online on ongoing information that you have, is there a place online where they should be watching?
Well, there is the Rose Rosette webpage that will tell you where we are relatively up to date. That webpage, though, was funded by this grant money, so it's not being updated quite as much as it was. But I know it's still being updated, but just not as often. But the big thing, though, right now, the focus is on disease resistance. We have identified a few roses that are not as susceptible as most others. And this is where our focus is and needs to be. For example, many of the roses that we have found resistance in, they're never going to make the head table. They probably wouldn't make it to a rose show. But they can be used to get resistance into roses we want to grow. Among the more common roses, not all, certainly, but some of the rugosa roses have shown resistance to this disease. Problem with rugosa roses is that they're more difficult to breed with. And so the breeders told me it's just our dang luck that it's the rugosas. So, but not all rugosas are. And then we have another issue, and that is on wild rugosas, especially, one plant may be resistant and another plant may not be. We certainly see that in resistance to the mite, where when we look at rosa species, a sample we collect from one place may have some resistance. A sample of the same species from another location does not. And we shouldn't be surprised at this, because we see the same thing, of course, with us. If two people come down with the same disease, one person may be impacted very severely by it, where the other person is not, yet we're the same species. So there's no reason to think that this wouldn't occur in the plant world. It's just a matter of identifying that resistant plant. We have people who are trying to, or were trying to before this grant issue, to understand why that plant was resistant genetically. And that work is still going on, but admittedly more slowly. And so that we can get resistant roses into the hands of the rose companies, or at least germplasm for their breeders. And that's our short-term goal towards a long-term goal of defeating this plant. You know, with COVID, we talk about vaccines. With plant pathology, we talk about resistance, because plants don't have an immune system like animals do. So we have to have resistance. And so that's where we're headed. And we'll get there. And there's no doubt of that. It's just a matter of, do we get there? It's a long journey. Do we get there going at 80 miles an hour? Well, that's above the speed limit, but that's good. Or do we get there at 5 miles an hour, which takes an incredibly longer period of time? Just like it takes more gas to go at 80 than it does at 5, it takes more money to go at 80 than it does at 5 for host plant resistance.
The rose is such a beauty and has so many people that love it. So many people are dedicated. People like you are very dedicated. I know David Slezak was with us a few weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, he's very serious about, you know, breeding roses that are resistant. So it's good to have someone like him. And I want to talk for a few minutes about what we can do and identification in a home garden. A few weeks ago, we also had Stephen Scaniello talking about this, and he was on because his Elizabeth Park garden was one of those public gardens you were probably talking about that got hit pretty hard. And so he's putting in some practices that are new and different in a rose garden as far as care and upkeep. And one of the things I remember he said, Mark, was he said that no longer do they have leaf blowers in the garden.
That's right.
Because he doesn't want to give these little mites that can't fly, he doesn't want to give them power.
Yeah. Well, I remember last year when Stephen and I were having this conversation, and I told him about how we use, this was developed by Tom Evans at the University of Delaware, but how we use leaf blowers to augment the spread of the mites in our rose plots. And it's very effective in blowing mites from diseased plants to healthy plants so that they will get infected. And I told him that I would not let a leaf blower anywhere near a rose garden if I had anything to say about it, that I would reintroduce to the workers in the garden that wonderful instrument called a rake. And and he laughed sort of nervously, and he said, well, we use leaf blowers all the time. I says, well, you're going to stop. And they did. But that's just one thing. One of the problems that we have done in the past with rose gardens is the traditional rose garden were long beds of rows of just roses. And now I'm thinking that we need, based on some work that we've done with barriers, that we need to be incorporating other plants in our rose gardens to sort of petition our roses into smaller blocks so that we have barriers. And of course, so obviously you can't put a geranium, a 1 foot geranium in it with 4 foot roses and think you have a barrier. But one of the things the new grant was going to look at is which plants would be best to use in barrier situations that would augment the beauty of the rose without competing for sunlight and nutrients. And that's a tall order, but we can do it. but it has to be attractive as well. So that's something else of it. People can think about what other plants can I use that will get the size of a rose that will act as a barrier, because the mite and the virus, neither one infect anything that is not in the genus Rosa. So if we use non-roses as barriers, we can go a long way to slowing this thing down in a rose garden.
And that's a very large species. That's a very large group.
It is.
It's surprising, some of the things that are in the rose group.
We're not talking the rose family. That is very huge. That'll include apples, blackberries, you know, things of this type. But in the Rosa genus, we're talking about just basically roses. But I will admit, some of the Rosa species that I have looked at, they don't look too much like what we consider a rose.
Well, that's true, but they all have their beauty. My garden is filled with different types.
I have become a big fan of species roses.
They're beautiful. You know, once you know about them and you watch them through the season, they're beautiful.
They are. They really are. Some of them, though, take quite a bit of encouragement to keep them in their place. They don't like to be confined.
No, they don't.
I've learned that the hard way in my research plots.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't fit on just a small, you know, they're not a good balcony plant, but.
Well, there are some species that are. I have some that never get above 2 feet high.
Oh, tell us about that one.
Well, they're not too impressive as a plant, but they're small.
Well, there you go.
The flowers are small, too. I haven't come across any of the small ones that I would say, I'd like to have it in my yard, but they are small.
Well, how are they for hips? You know, I can appreciate a good rose hip.
Small flowers and small hips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, but on the other hand, if they have a resistance gene that we want, yeah, we'll get. That would not stop us. That's why we have to look. When you mentioned Dr. Zizak, I don't know if it's this summer. I pray to God not, since it's already midsummer, but I'm destined to receive several hundred seedlings from his breeding work to test for rose rosette resistance in the field. And I can't wait to get them. But we have a place for them. We have a place planned for them whenever they show up.
Well, if they come from David's, they're going to come to you well-loved. He takes the greatest of care, and this is work that he is very committed to and loves so much.
No doubt. No doubt.
Well, Mark, in our final minutes, are there any myths about rose rosette that you'd like to dispel?
Yeah, there's a couple. I'm sure when we hang up, I'm going to think of 12 more. But a couple that I do want to, that come to the top of my head is, can you go back in the same hole with another rose? Yes, you can. Do you have to get every little rootlet out of that hole? No, you don't. As long as you get the majority of the plant, small roots do not lead to root grafting. When the plant has been cut out, those small roots die very quickly. So that's not an issue. Another issue is, can you move this thing around on your pruners? There's been a lot of people who have looked at this. To date, there is no data that shows that rose rosette virus is transmitted mechanically on pruners. So that's another myth that we can dispel. The third myth is that all mites carry the virus. That's not true. The mites have to feed on a rose that has the virus before it can spread it. All roses have these mites, but just finding the mites does not mean that the thing has the virus or that those mites are going to transmit it. So there are some myths, I guess, or things that keep coming up in Rose blogs.
So those are things that we do need to know, because when, you know, it does freak people out when they get Rose Rosette, and we do want to take it very seriously. And so we don't want them to think, oh, we can't have roses again, or we can't have roses in this part of the garden. And the pruner thing, I've heard that a lot too. And so those are all just so good to know as we move forward with roses in our gardens.
Well, those are a good thing. You know, the whole key to this thing and managing it in a garden is to detect it early. If you detect it early, you can remove that rose before the mite populations build up and spread to other roses. If you take that rose out early, there's an excellent chance that it will not move to the other one. Now, as rosarians, we should be looking at our roses multiple times a week. I don't know why you have them if you're not out walking in them and enjoying them. And if you know what early symptoms look like, you can remove that rose. Now, and people say, oh, but I don't want to remove that rose. We're not talking about grandchildren here. We're talking about a plant. And you can, and most rosarians are always looking for a space to put a new rose. So if you lose a couple of roses to Rose Rosette because you caught it early, there's your places for the new ones. It's always a positive if we look.
Absolutely. I'm always warning my roses, you know, if you don't perform, I'm going to have to take you out because there's so many pretty ones out there.
There are.
And, you know, We definitely want to do all that we can to take care of this problem. Well, Mark, it's been so great to catch up. I wish our news of funding was better, but we appreciate all that you do and all those on your team are doing to help us find out all the details that we need to know to fight this terrible disease. You know, one thing I thought of as you were talking about all the text and emails you had gotten this spring, I just wonder, as you talked about walking in your garden, people are home with COVID. They're probably doing a whole lot more walking in their garden this year, which is a good thing.
I bet they are. And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. We've all needed our gardens. Gardeners have needed their gardens this year. And if my text and email say anything, loads of people have decided they needed a garden this year. Friends, thank you for joining us today, and let's all commit to doing our part to spread the correct information about this disease. And you can start by sharing this podcast and downloading the article that Mark talked about earlier. And until next time, friends, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.